So we kind of originated the Space Apps Challenge idea about a year and a half ago, actually in San Francisco at a hotel when we were our team of about four people was gathered together, and we were talking about kind of the hackathon movement that we've seen kind of evolving, in particular in the U.S. but also abroad, and how there were definitely kind of two different areas in which companies and organizations were using hackathons. One was kind of as a public outreach mechanism. But then also kind of as a mechanism for looking for really good talent to bring into their own organization. And we had previously been involved in a movement called ROC, Random Hacks of Kindness, which was a hackathon focused on kind of developing solutions for social good in the developing world. So a lot of disaster recovery, disaster relief type applications that were helping, the UN, USAID, the World Bank, in a lot of the regions they were operating in. And we were involved in that for a while, and we kind of saw that that kind of stood alone, and that it was a hackathon really meant not for the benefit of the organizers, but for the benefit of the people. And we got thinking that NASA has an incredible collection of data. We're collecting 27 terabytes per day of data about the Earth, the solar system, and the universe. Just a massive, massive, massive amount of information.
Crikey.
And we thought, a lot of that data is collected. It's made available online. It's publicly accessible, but it's not used that often by people outside of the scientific community. And what if you gave, this massive community of hackers and developers who were out there wanting to be part of movements like this, and kind of gave them the opportunity to work with that data, to work with subject matter experts in that data, and have some time to, use it to develop solutions that both were applicable for space exploration, but also here on Earth. So we kind of came up with the idea of the Space Ops Challenge, and we had the first one last April, April 19th and 20th. We had about 2,000 participants in 25 cities around the world on all seven continents, and we saw about 100 different solutions come out of that. Everything from taking NASA exoplanet information and putting it into a nice API that web developers could query, to people creating applications that helped farmers in rural South America determine the best crop to plant on their land based on the water type, the soil density, things like that from our Earth observing mission. So just a huge gamut of projects that were created, and kind of as soon as the challenge ended last year, there was just a massive demand to do it again. And so we started planning almost immediately after for Space Ops Challenge 2013. And this year we have over 9,000 participants in 83 cities around the world. So it's grown quite a bit, but it's really exciting to see, how it's progressed so far over the weekend. Right now we have about 600 active projects being worked on. So just a massive, massive, massive kind of mass collaboration. And it's just been fantastic to see.
I understand that we've broken a record with this hackathon.
So this is now the world's largest hackathon, the known galaxy's largest hackathon, if you will.
Excellent.
And I mean, I think the previous kind of biggest hackathon we saw was around 6,000 people in 30 cities, and so this is about 3,000 people more than that, and more than double the amount of locations.
Terrific. So far, have you heard or seen of something that's exciting you?
So I'm going to be partial to the challenge that I wrote. Which was, I'm very interested in mapping and in kind of geodata products. And I think it's been incredible to see how there's been this open source community around OpenStreetMaps and Leaflet and OpenLayers and all these projects being created to kind of provide mapping solutions for the web. So people who, want to embed maps on their website, who want to do visualizations of geodata. And, if you know anything about how mapping on computers works, is that the actual map is consisted of what they call tiles. And each tile is a unique image of, a certain latitude and longitude of the map. And normally you can find, a few different sets of tiles. Most of them are kind of just map, like animated maps like you would see on Google Maps. But then there's also kind of satellite imagery on some of them. But there's not a lot of diversity in those types of map tiles. One of the things that NASA has is, about half of our missions aren't looking into space, they're looking back here on Earth. And they're all capturing incredible imagery. And so the Earth Tiles Challenge that I wrote was to see, what if we could take some of this imagery, the Landsat imagery, the MODIS imagery, that's recording a whole bunch of different information about the Earth's surface, everything that are, like temperature maps, heat maps, topography maps, as well as this visible light images from different periods of time. What if we could take those and make those available as tiles you could use on web maps so that people could make really easy visualizations of geodata on top of NASA as well as international partner imagery? On there without having to do a lot of work to actually understand the raw data, but rather just kind of plug in and say, here's the link to include all these tiles in my map. And so I'm kind of partial to that one just because I think it provides a real opportunity for people in the future to create really amazing visualizations off of NASA's geodata.
Terrific. Of course, this weekend, there's only 48 hours, mm-hmm. well, in total. So we're basically working on proof of concept
right.
ideas. From last year's SpaceX Challenge, how many of those ideas do you know actually came to fruition and are now in usage?
Yeah, so, you know, I think, first of all, I think for the SpaceX Challenge, it's really meant to kind of be a Kickstarter to a lot of these projects. And so, you know, the idea is that, you know, a participant who comes can put as much or as little work into it as they want to. Some people are doing incredibly simple, small projects, and they can finish the entire thing in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Last year, we had a guy in London, I believe, who actually ended up doing 6 different projects during the hackathon. And I think he just stayed up the entire time and worked and made, you know, all these incredible projects. So, you know, it really can depend on how much work people want to put into it. But the idea behind the Space App Challenge is that it provides an opportunity to create a community of people who are passionate about this sort of thing. Mm. And so going forward, they can actually carry the work, you know, beyond the weekend and continue to work on it. And last year, we saw a number of kind of open source projects come out of the Space Apps Challenge that have, you know, continued work. The project I referred to earlier that was working with the rural farmers in Latin America, that's called the Pineapple Project.
Pineapple Project.
And that has actually had dozens of participants over the past year continue to develop it. I think they're actually working on it again this weekend. And so it's been really amazing to see, you know, in that particular project, just how much momentum has carried forward as part of it. And people have actually applied for grants and gotten grant funding to continue working on it. It's been turned into research papers. A lot of nonprofit organizations have expressed interest in funding it for their own work, things like that. So that has kind of developed into its own, you know, ecosystem of projects. Other projects that we had last year were actually adopted by NASA. And so NASA actually took some of the projects that we saw and brought it into our own workflow as projects, you know, we're using officially at the agency.
Right.
So it's, you know, it definitely depends. And obviously, you know, some projects, they exist during the weekend, they act as a really great proof of concept, but there's not enough momentum to carry them forward. And that's okay, because with every type of, you know, event like this, you're going to have some projects that get a lot of momentum and some that don't. And, you know, it's really about capturing all of those ideas so that going forward in the future, if someone wants to do something like that, we can point them and say, hey, there's a project that was worked on at Space Apps Challenge 2013. They maybe did, you know, a few lines of code, some found some data sets would be useful. They weren't able to finish it, but maybe this is a good starting base for your project in the future.
I see. So nothing ever truly gets lost.
Correct.
If you could tell me a little bit about the Canberra base, this is the, I understand, the head site for Australia.
Correct.
What is it that brought you particularly here?
So I think there's a few reasons as to why I came up to Canberra. The biggest, I think, is, you know, our team is fairly small. We're only 4 people. And we wanted to make sure that we distributed ourselves around the globe, both in terms of so that way we're distributed evenly on time zones, so that someone's always kind of awake during the event so that we can answer questions. If there's, you know, some sort of emergency, like the website goes down, you know, there's someone on call to try and get that fixed. But also because we think it's really important to get out to events, both large and small, and be part of the community. So, I mean, last year I was at the events in Nairobi where they had around 200 participants. So just a massive, massive, massive event. And that was amazing to see because, you know, you're there in a city that doesn't have a particularly strong tech presence and faces a lot of challenges that one would think that people would kind of put space exploration aside for.
Yeah.
But it was just amazing to see how much excitement and participation that we had just around our data and around using, you know, space data to help solve problems that are really relevant to people in Kenya. And so that was amazing to see. But it's been equally amazing to see how, you know, at a smaller event like we have in Canberra, how, you know, you get people coming together and actually forming a really tight-knit team in a small amount of time to create a project. And so it's been great to, you know, be here as well as connect with people in Melbourne and Brisbane, Adelaide, just to kind of, you know, create a really kind of small but tight-knit community of people who can kind of carry this work forward into the future. So, you know, definitely kind of being out there in the community is an important part of this. I also, you know, we have worked with Naomi Mathers, the Canberra organizer, as well as the Australia Regional League quite a bit in the past. And we know that she has always put forth, you know, kind of really, really amazing events. And I think that being in Australia provides a unique opportunity because, you know, there is a fairly small but fairly active space community here of people who are interested in this and that who are very excited to be part of these types of events. So we think that, you know, the Australia community here is really powerful, one that we want to help support and kind of, you know, ensure is part of the Space Apps Challenge experience.
Can you tell me a little bit about when you're back at NASA, where do you work?
So I work at NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C. So, you know, in my role as a technology strategist, I primarily am responsible for helping to ensure that NASA's data and open source code that's in the public realm is used kind of by developers, by academics, by designers, by all these different communities to kind of accelerate its value. You know, we think that NASA's data is an amazing resource, you know, petabytes upon petabytes upon petabytes of data. And a lot of it, you know, is used for its scientific purpose and then put online and stored somewhere. So it's on a hard drive. And, you know, we think that that data has value, but that value isn't realized until it's used for something. You know, it's like if you had an incredible library with, you know, millions of books on it, but the doors were never opened. What use does a library provide? You know, you have to have that data being used, being accessed, being analyzed to kind of have a continuing value carried forward. And so, you know, I view my role as kind of being someone who can help connect people who are interested in working with NASA's data, but maybe don't know where to start looking, don't know what data they really need, don't understand how to, you know, decipher it, and helping those communities, you know, carry it forward. And so that's, you know, it's very multifaceted. Part of it is kind of the policy side of things, ensuring that our release processes, our export, you know, processes, our, you know, intellectual property review is streamlined so that people inside the agency don't have massive barriers of entry to releasing their information. But also on the public side, making sure that we're doing as much as we can to make that data available in open, accessible formats, as well as doing kind of, you know, engagement around the data. So events like the Space App Challenge, where we actually kind of go out into the community, offer everything we have, and work to engage, you know, participants in using it. So I view it very much as both internally focused as well as externally focused, because in particular, when you talk about, you know, NASA's data, it's so much of a huge community of people, both in terms of data generation and data usage. There's a lot of opportunity, I think, to realize more value out of the data that hasn't quite been tapped yet. And so we're trying to do more of that and kind of, you know, spread the value of our research around the world.
Just one final question.
Yeah.
As it exists at the moment, where can someone go?
Yeah, so we have a number of resources available for people both during the Space App Challenge, but as well as, you know, in general, if they want to work with NASA data. So I think the first, obviously, is spaceappschallenge.org, which has an incredible index of all the challenges that we've created. So the kind of challenge statements of different areas people should look at, you know, that might be a potential area to do some work in. And all of those challenges are very well documented. They have backup, you know, data and research materials behind them that you can link to and access, as well as, you know, a lot of good discussions and collaborations of people who have already tried to solve them. So that's a great resource. In terms of kind of more hardcore resources, we have data.nasa.gov, which is NASA's data basically index. One of the things about NASA is we have so much data, we don't know the data that we have. Right. And so indexing and searching through and filtering that data is a massive challenge, because it's not like you can just say, you know, I want to query all data about the ocean, because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of missions that have looked at the ocean. And, you know, it's, you know, what ocean are you trying to find out information about? What information about the ocean do you want? What mission, you know, how old is the data? So there's so many different variables in there. It's really difficult to kind of create one system to make all of it accessible. And so we have dozens upon dozens upon dozens of systems used to access data in different formats and ways. There's, you know, the planetary data system, which is looking at planetary data, the Earth observation system, which is looking at Earth science data, all these different systems. And so for people coming in to NASA, it was kind of a strange experience, because you're like, I want to access the data, but I don't know where to go find the data that I need. And so data.nasa.gov was created to basically be an index and a resource of all these different data systems. So you could type in, I want to find out information about, you know, planets in the solar system. And it will show you all the different kind of search engines and resources we have available to find out information about that subject. So that's a great resource if you're looking to, you know, just play around with some raw data, download, you know, some XML file of data, play around with it, create something. We also have code.nasa.gov, which is an index of basically all of NASA's open source software. So a lot of that resides on GitHub. So we have a GitHub account at github.com/NASA, but that's not all of our code. We also have code in SourceForge as well as on our own servers. So code.nasa.gov provides an index of all of the open source software NASA has created and released to the public. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of software that we've released and made available. Everything from trajectory creation software. So if you're launching a satellite, you can use this piece of software to say, this is how fast and what angle you should launch it at. to things like the drivers for the mission control displays that are all open sourced.
Incredible.
Yeah, so there's an incredible resource of software you can kind of use if you're trying to do something with our data. There's a lot of software that you can use to kind of, you know, jumpstart your project with. Finally, we have open.nasa.gov, and OpenNASA is basically our kind of community blog that we have open to any NASA employee. So anyone at the agency can actually write a blog on OpenNASA. And it's a great collection of communities and resources for people who are kind of in this mindset of how they want to do business and kind of the collaborative participatory mindset of how our team is trying to put forth. And so there's an amazing collection of stories and case studies and other kind of resources available on that website for people who are interested but maybe don't quite know where they want to go or what they want to do. There's a lot of really good examples and highlights of amazing work being done both inside NASA as well as in the greater community.
Well, thanks very much, Sean.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to meet you.
You as well.